If you would, please, in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, 2 Peter, chapter 1. And I don't believe I'll be too long this evening, but it's a message certainly God has put upon my heart for this evening. I proposed to preach many different sermons, and I had many that crossed my mind and my heart, but I believe this is what the Lord would have me to preach tonight out of 2 Peter in chapter 1. And we have been going through a study at our church every Wednesday, and it's been a great blessing to me personally, and it's been, I believe, a blessing to our people as well. But it's a lesson called Winning the War Within. And we know that when we get saved, and I believe salvation is the greatest decision anyone could ever make in their life. If you're not saved here tonight, I want to encourage you to make that decision. You won't regret being saved. I've never met anyone that said, "Boy, you know, I'm sorry I got saved." I've never met one who have said that. Now, I know there's difficulties after we get saved. I do know this, that I never realized the reality or how real the devil is till I got saved. Because once I got saved, he started nipping at my heels. I mean, he just kind of leaves us alone when we're not saved. He doesn't want to stir up the pot at all. He's got us blind in sin. He doesn't want to stir us up at all. So he just kind of, lulls us to sleep thinking we're okay just the way we are. Doesn't want us to see our need for salvation. But once we get saved, boy, he starts nipping at our heels. You know, his next job is to render us ineffective for the cause of Christ. He doesn't want you to make a difference. Jude says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." And folks, that's what we're called to do. Once we're saved, we're called to make a difference for the cause of Christ. And so I pray that through this message, it'll encourage you to make a difference. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want you to see a word here that is found within this very first few verses of this chapter. But let's look there together. 2 Peter chapter 1. The Bible says, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." I want you to notice one word within this verse, and that is the word servant. Servant. Paul, Simon Peter, a servant. Paul said the same thing you'll find in the book of Philemon. He called himself a servant in other places as well. But I want to focus on that word servant. In just a moment. But let's read down a little bit further. Verse 2. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According as," notice this, "His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue." What is that saying to us this evening, church? Well, I think just from reading that, and we can just from a surface knowledge from that, we understand that, number one, he's talking to saved people. And he's saying here that God has given every one of us, as his children, all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, God has given us everything that we need to live out our Christian life. He didn't leave anything lacking. When you got saved and I got saved, God gave us everything that we need to live out the Christian life. There's not one thing tonight that you are lacking to live out a successful, victorious Christian life. You have what you need. I have what I need. Look at it again, look at it again in verse 3. "According as his divine power," that's God's power, "hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." And so we can never say, "God, you didn't give me what I need. That's why I'm living a defeated Christian life." No. In fact, when you got saved and I got saved, you and I were given the Holy Spirit of God. He dwells within you and I tonight. He lives with us. Jesus said, "I will send a comforter unto you and he will abide with you." How long? Forever. You know, even in heaven, we're going to have the Holy Spirit of God. I believe forever is forever. He said, "I'm going to send you a comforter. He's going to abide with you forever." And so he's with us tonight. He's here tonight. He's with us, giving unto us all things. Now let's go on a little bit further. I like verse 4. He says, "Wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." Look at this. "But he that lacketh these things is what? Blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I'd like to go on just a little bit further down within this passage. And we will see some things here in the latter part of the verse. I'm sorry, the latter part of the chapter. He says in verse 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor that ye be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." And then he goes on to encourage them go ahead and live out a victorious Christian life, to stay steadfast. And that is, of course, the encouragement we find throughout most of the epistles that have been written to the churches and to the early church. And we find Paul or all of the apostles encouraging those early believers to live out the Christian life, to go on and go further in their faith. We see how the progression here, how they're to grow knowledge to temperance to knowledge, patience to temperance, and then to patience, godliness, and all these things, how we're to grow. And it is God's will for each of us to grow and to go further. And there's always the danger, and we see it all the time, the danger within our Christian life. And you'll recognize this if you're saved for any length of time. You recognize there are times in our lives where we grow stagnant. There are times, something happens along the way where we just kind of hit a roadblock in our faith. And all of a sudden, you know, the growth in our life that once was there, or maybe the excitement we had in the beginning, just seems to kind of fade. And we get in a rut and we're not growing as we should. Now, we see this happen all the time among Christians, among God's people, and it could even be here tonight, where perhaps if we were to be honest with ourselves and look at our lives, perhaps we're not where we should be. We know that. We understand that. And it's something that's a reality in our life. Not that we even really want it to be, but it's what it is in our lives today. You know, days of the world, when sailors would venture out into the ocean. This is before power and before steam and different types of fuel, that sailors would have to depend on sails and wind. And oftentimes when sailors would venture out in a specific part of the ocean, they understood that it was a danger to be caught between this part of the world where the equator is, where the sun beats down upon this part of the world, and it was a place where oftentimes the wind would, because of the sun and the way it would beat upon that part of the world, the winds would die, and sailors would often get caught in that part, and they termed this place the doldrums. And oftentimes, you know, they would get caught in the doldrums, and it would be days before any wind would come. And oftentimes, wind would never come. And sailors would be caught there, and they would just be stagnant. And many would die within that place termed the doldrums. And as God's people, we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the spiritual doldrums. And that is, we're just kind of stagnant, nothing really going, nothing growing, just kind of going along. And listen, as God's people, we need to recognize we're either going forward tonight or we're going backwards. There is no standing still with God. You know, sometimes we say, well, there was a time when I used to be excited. There was a time we look back. This was the days where I used to do a lot for God. And I used to do this and used to do that. And we need to be careful that we, you know, we're not caught up in the, you know, the glory days or yesteryear, the things we used to do for God. Hey, it's wonderful to talk about the things we used to do for God and what God was doing through us years ago. But what is God doing today? What's going on in your life today, Christian? And that's what I want to encourage you. But you know, oftentimes Christians are caught in the spiritual doldrums. And then, you know, there are things that oftentimes will keep us there. Will keep us in those spiritual doldrums, if you would. Now, when we look to the book of 2 Peter, I want you to see, go back to this word, servant. This word, servant. Peter writes this. He said, Simon Peter, a servant. Now, if you were to study that word out, you'll find that it's a word in the Greek, and it's termed doulos, or doulos. And what this word means, it's termed exactly what it is. It's a servant, but it's a servant either voluntary or involuntary, but nevertheless, a servant. And when it comes to being a servant of God, of course, Simon decided this is what he wanted to be. He placed himself as a servant, a voluntary servant. It's also used in other places in Scripture as a bondservant. Paul used the word. It's very closely connected when he said, I, Paul, a prisoner of the Lord. Called himself a prisoner of the Lord. So it's somebody who is given up their rights to serve and by their own will and by their own volition. Now, Peter said, I'm a servant of the Lord, but the fact remains this evening that we're all servants to either someone or something this evening. We're in bondage to someone. Peter said, I'm in bondage to the Lord. I place myself, I'm a servant or a prisoner of the Lord. And we see Paul said the same things many times. Paul a prisoner or Paul a servant of the Lord. But when we see this type of bondage, it can be either good or bad in a person's life. Now, there have been times when we see portions of Scripture where we're warned not to be entangled in the yoke of bondage or the things of the world, of course, referring to sin and how sin was once what we were slaves or servants of sin. And many of us remember that before we were saved. We were servants and slaves to sin. Sin was bondage in our lives. Many of us can remember things that we were in bondage to. But you know, the fact is this evening, even though we're saved, even though we know the Lord, we can once again be entangled or enslaved, become once again in bondage to sin. We need to be careful of that. I only have 2 points this evening. I'm going to be very quick tonight. And just 2 points this evening. And actually, it's just some good news and it's some bad news. And so, what would you like first, the good news or the bad news? Anybody? Bad news. Everybody picks the bad news first. I think we just want to kind of get the bad news out of the way, you know. it's like the 96-year-old man who he came to church and he said, you know, it's tough being 96 years old. And someone said, well, what's it like being 96 years old? He said, well, there's some good things about it and there's some bad things about it. He said, what do you want to know first? He said, tell us the bad things about being 96 years old. Well, he said, being 96 years old, I can only see about 15 yards in front of me. He says, it's very difficult to see. And not only that, he says, difficult to hear, too. He said, I have to sometimes even turn up both my hearing aids just to hear. And so it's, and not only that, he said, my leg, you know, sometimes my leg wants to go in a different direction. And he said, I got to take both hands and, you know, make it go in the right direction. And so it's tough being 96 years old. They said, well, after all that, what's good about being 96 years old? He said, well, I praise God every day. I still have my driver's license and I can go wherever I want to go. And so there's some good news and some bad news tonight. And you know, the bad news is when we see those that are in bondage. Many of us know, even though folks are saved, that oftentimes, and Paul warned, Peter warned against it in this book here that we're reading, 2 Peter, but they get entangled in bondage, even though they're saved and they know the Lord. And we all know folks like that, that once we're serving God, that once we're on the path following the Lord, but they got off the path and they backslid on the Lord, and once again were entangled. And so the bad news is that some never escape bondage. We all know those that have become spiritual casualties. And it's never easy to see that or accept that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Paul said this, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. And so there are going to be along the way in our Christian life, there are going to be those that will be the Demases. They'll go back. They'll once again be entangled in the things of the world. And it's always difficult to accept that. And it's sad to see. We all know people like that. I'm certain perhaps even in this church, you can think of somebody that used to be here among your ranks and used to be serving God. And they used to be excited about things of the Lord. But today, it's not the story. It's not the case. Something has drawn them away. Something else has gotten their attention. And it's usually the things of the world. By the way, we need to recognize as God's people, you know, the things of the world will constantly be calling, constantly trying to allure us from serving God. That never goes away, by the way. The world's always going to be calling us. And, you know, sometimes we look out and we think we're missing something. We think that, you know, we're really missing out what the world has to offer. I want you to know, listen, we're not missing a single thing in the world. What we have in the Lord is so far greater. You know, the grass always looks greener on the other side. Like the farmer said, you know, the grass always looks greener over the septic tank. And that's the truth. Listen, we're not missing a single thing in the world. It might look like, boy, they're having fun. We're smarter than that. We know, listen, especially those of us who've been in the world, you know the end of those things. They might have the fun on the weekend, but you know Monday morning's coming. And it's going to be the same thing over and over, caught up in that cycle. Boy, people just live for the weekend. Looking for that next high, you know, that next fun time. But boy, deep down they're empty and they're miserable. Don't be fooled by the facades, you know, all the commercials and, you know, the high life and all these. Listen, it's just a facade. It really is. It's empty. Those of us who've been there, we understand. Those are just, it's just a, you know, like the hypocrite, you know, one face here and then, you know, the next is just a mask and it's not real. It's just a facade and we can see behind it. It's empty. And so the bad news is we all will know some that will never escape bondage. They become spiritual casualties. And so I want to encourage you this evening to be aware of that. Go, if you would, please, in Romans chapter 8. I want you to see something else here. Romans chapter 8. And if you would, once you're there, look down in verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Bible says, for ye That's speaking of God's people, you and I, this evening. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So the Bible says we have not received the spirit of bondage. We've been set free from sin. In fact, I love reading Romans chapter 6. It's a great chapter talking about the freedom that we have. We're no longer under sin's power and reign and control. You and I have been set free from that. You know, there was a time when we did those things by nature. These are things that we did. It was just who we were. We sinned because we're sinners. And so that's what we did naturally. But when you and I got saved, thank the Lord, we received the new nature in Christ. Amen. The new man. And so you and I now have a new power. And that is a new man that lives within us. And so we're no longer under sin's power. We don't have to do those things that we used to. And thank God for that power that you and I have today. Now, I have something here. I ask Brother Leonard. Is that right, Brother Leonard? I asked him to bring me. One thing I love to do, I don't know, anybody else love fishing here? Oh, we got some fishermen here tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm glad. You're gonna relate to this. And let's see. I asked him to put a hook on it, and he did. And there's even a little piece of worm left on it. Isn't that great? It's a fake worm. So, all right. But we're all familiar with fishing. Actually, I'm right-handed. So let's just reel that up a little ways. But we understand the basic principles of fishing. Now, fishing, of course, you're going and, no one goes fishing and says, well, doesn't really matter if I catch anything. I'm just going to put my... No, we want to catch something. Amen. People go fishing because they want to catch something. And you're not a good fisherman if you don't have a desire to catch something. I'll tell you a fish story in a second, but... All right, there we go. And so, usually the basic principles of fishing is you have a line, and on the end of the line you have a hook. And then you have something that'll attract a fish, whether it's a lure. This is a hook with a worm, and so I don't know if he's going trout fishing here, but in different baits for different types of fish, right? And I have my wife knows down the cellar, and of course in my car and many other parts of the house, I have fishing gear everywhere. I mean, I have lures, I have boxes for different types of fish, whether it's trout or striped bass or largemouth bass or whatever, but different lures for different fish. And one thing I know when we're thinking about spiritually, and we apply this spiritually, the devil knows what lure we bite on. In every single one of us, it might be something different, but you mark it down, the devil knows what lure you bite on tonight. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to put things before us, and he's trying to catch us, if you would. He's trying to get us to bite at certain things. And there are all kinds of things in the world that you and I as God's people are faced with. And yes, I understand we're saved and we know the Lord, but these things are still very tempting. And the devil will bring these things before us to try to get us back into bondage. So maybe for you, your lure is gossip. And so, you know, the devil, he's going to try to tempt you with gossip. And he knows that if there's a nice juicy story and something, boy, that you want to really get with others, maybe make some phone calls, or maybe, you know, at the fellowship, or maybe among friends, you know you shouldn't be talking about so-and-so, but, boy, it's just too tempting. It's too good of a story. And so what do? You fall for it. And so he gets you hooked. He's got you hooked on maybe gossip, and maybe that's something that the devil's really putting before you, and he tempts you with.
You know, many, for many, even though we're saved, there are many that are tempted and with drugs or alcohol. And listen, it doesn't have to be, you know, hanging out down the corner with the drug dealer either. It could be something like going to the pharmacy and filling a prescription that the devil might be have you hooked on drugs or alcohol. So this is something that he's got you hooked on, and he wants to get you in bondage once again with drugs or alcohol. And so he's got you hooked. Let me see if I can hook this one. I'm going to help you catch it. There we go. All right, so there it is. He's got you hooked on drugs or alcohol. Now listen, we understand people without the Lord, we can understand how easily people get hooked on drugs or alcohol because they don't have the Lord. But the fact of the matter is even though we know the Lord and people are saved, they still struggle with these things. And there are many, and we may not even know it in the room tonight, but there are many that are in bondage to these things. And so beware of that. The devil gets us oftentimes hooked on other things. And these are just some of the things I picked out. These are some of the big things. But lying. Oh, we say, well, that's not a big sin. You know, not a big deal. But folks, the Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And there are many that are hooked on lying. And it's bondage. We know how deep a lie can get us. Amen. So, but you just oftentimes can't help it. The devil tempts you to lie and to be dishonorable. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Here's something else. It might be music. The devil might have you hooked on the wrong kind of music. Boy, it's wonderful to sing the hymns and enjoy good godly music, but boy, it's difficult, and we're tempted with the wrong kinds of music. And so that's something else, thank you. Something else the devil could certainly bring you into bondage with. How about this one? The internet. And of course, there's many different things. Of course, we know there are many things on the internet, and yes, there are wicked things, but even just spending too much time on the internet, and it could be things like internet pornography that the devil has you wrapped up in, and it could be those types of things that he's brought you into bondage with. But it could be spending too much time. It could be chatting, where you know you shouldn't be chatting to certain people. All kinds of things that the devil has you hooked with. Now, one thing I know about fishing, and what I like to do when I'm fishing, of course, is hook a fish. But you know, sometimes as a fisherman, and if you've been fishing at any length of time, you know this, that if you hook a fish, you want to get him in the lip, right? But sometimes that fish is so hungry, you hook him and he swallows the hook. Now, sometimes as Christians, we might be hooked, but you know, it's not that bad. We can kind of get off the hook very easily. But you know, sometimes we don't get away that easy. Sometimes the hook goes very deep. It goes into our stomach where, there are actually times I've had to let the fish go after getting the hook out, and I knew that fish wasn't going to make it. It killed the fish. Now listen, the devil's desire, again, is not only to hook you, but his desire is to kill you. You know, if the devil had his way, he'd kill every single one of us in the room. He's not our friend. Amen? He wants to destroy your life. And so he puts the hook out there, he puts the lure out there, and he just wants you to take a bite, and you think, well, I can get off the hook. It's not that big of a deal. It's not really that much of a problem right now. But listen, the more you're hooked, the more of a chance that hook is going to sink down into your stomach and destroy your life. It's going to kill you. By the way, the payment for sin is still the same. The wages of sin is what? Death. Listen, we can't be playing with sin and thinking it's okay. The devil wants to bring us back into bondage. And And so we need to be aware of that. You know, something else I know, fishing, one thing I cannot stand. Now, you might be here tonight and you're saying, you know, preacher, there are some things in my life that I know that is keeping me in bondage tonight. I'm saved, I know I'm saved, but there are things I know that are hindering me. I become a slave once again to those things. It could be something, maybe not here upon the list, but you put it up, you know what it is. I mean, you could hang it here tonight. One thing I know also about fishing is when I'm casting, it's one thing I can't stand really is when I cast, I'll get maybe a little loop in my reel, and then it gets all tangled up. You know what I'm talking about, right? And what's that term called? It's called a backlash or a bird. You know, fisherman term is a bird's nest. You get a bird's nest. It's just a mess. You know, sometimes that's what our lives become. Like that bird's nest. You know, it's just a mess. It's a tangled mess of line. And we just say, how in the world did I get involved in that? You know, it's just a mess. How can I ever get out of this? You know, I just want to be encouragement to you. It doesn't matter where you are tonight, spiritually speaking. There's not a bird's nest too big that God cannot untangle. It might take some time. But, you know, and by the way, he doesn't just kind of wave a magic wand over and say, okay, all better. No. String by string, he begins to unwind and untangle our mess and our problem. And so maybe you're here tonight and maybe you feel that's how your life is. It's just like a tangled mess, like a big old bird's nest of problems. Bring it to the Lord tonight. Let Him, give Him a chance to begin to work out these things in your life. And get you back to a place where you're experiencing victory in your life. It's not God's will for you and I to live defeated. It's not God's will for you and I to be in bondage to sin. The bad news is some never escape. Some get hooked and some, the hook sinks down into their lives and they're destroyed. And we may even know people like that. Some people is very close. It hits very close. We know somebody, maybe even in our family, who has sinned and destroyed their life. I have a brother in heaven today. His name is Keith. Him and I celebrate the very same birthday, 2 years apart. June 25th, we celebrate the same birthday. And it's been 4 years, I believe, 4 years since my brother Keith was killed. And I'd like to be able to stand here and tell you he died of some natural cause or died of maybe even some disease or sickness. But it was sin that killed him. It was alcohol. Got a hold of his life. You know, I believe he was saved. I really do. I believe there was a time in his life he really meant business with God and gave his life to God. But he played with sin. Never really gave up on the old friends and just kind of left the door open just a little bit in his life and allowed some things to remain in his life. And years went by and he allowed these things to remain. And eventually, they won the battle. These things in his life, they had their way and eventually it killed him. It's difficult when we see those that never escape. But the good news is you and I don't have to be in bondage. You and I certainly can have the victory. Do you know that there's victory that is promised to every Christian? It's been given to every single one of us. You and I have the victory. You know, sometimes in the Christian life, we see others living the victorious Christian life, and you say, there's just a select few that God has chosen to give. You know, they have special power that God has given them to live the victorious life. No, that's not true. The fact is, we all have the same Spirit of God. We all have been given, the Bible says here, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Every single one of us have been given power.
And some of us, sometimes we look at the victorious Christian life and we say, well, that's so far off, it's just impossible. But the Bible says you and I can experience that if we're willing to allow God to have His will in His way in our life. If you would, please go back with me and in the book of Romans in chapter 6. I want you to see something here. Romans chapter 6. And if you would, please, look down in verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17. The Bible says, "But God be thanked, that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Look at this, verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants." Is that word servant again? "Ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity or the weakness of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness." You know, that word "now" is very important. And folks, there's no time. There really isn't. There's no time to play a Christian or play church. There are many who say, well, there'll be a time that, one day I'll get serious about God. You know, that one day may never come. There might be something that hook that will sink down into your stomach. It'll kill you. The time to serve God and the time to get serious about the things of God is now. Now, it says. We were the servants of sin, but we're no longer, praise the Lord, by His power, we're no longer there. We're no longer the servants of sin. I like verse 22, "But now being made free from sin, and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." The bad news this evening, some will never escape. Sin will destroy them. They'll never escape bondage. We all know folks like that. The good news is we don't have to be in bondage. The good news is we have been made free from sin. The good news is, listen, this is not something you and I have to do alone, that God has given us the power to overcome anything that we're struggling with. There's not one thing, listen, upon this earth that is too powerful or too strong that you and I cannot overcome with God's help. I'm here to tell you, listen, many can testify tonight. I'm sure if we went around the room, you could testify of things that you used to struggle with in the world, but God has given you the victory. Can somebody say amen to that? You can point back to some and say, God gave me the victory over it. Praise God for that. And there are some tonight that, if you're honest with yourself, you know there are things you struggle with tonight. And you need God to give you victory. I'm here to tell you, listen, He's standing by. His desire is to help you. His desire is that you live a victorious Christian life. A life that's free from the bondage of sin, a life that is going on from victory to victory, as the Bible told us there in 2 Peter, from patience to temperance, temperance to godliness, all these things, this growth, this progress. And listen, God desires to grow you. You know, we like to sing the song, "I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground." We want to go higher, but listen, for some of us, we can't go higher because we're in bondage. We need to be set free. We need God to help us with a certain thing in our life, whatever it may be. Why don't you take care of that tonight, Christian? Let God have His will in His way. Let Him show Himself powerful once again in your life. He was powerful enough to save your soul. Listen, He's powerful enough to help you with anything that you're struggling with this evening. Just bring it to Him, whatever it is. It may not be something big, but certainly it's a hindrance. It's something that's keeping you from going on and having victory for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow together.